You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a very hot episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Twitter handle of CRS, which is at CRS Podcast. And ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. We are on Facebook.com/ClockRadioSpeakers. Good Lord. We're on Instagram at CRS Podcast. We are on iTunes. Vote, rate, comment. I'm about to check and see if anybody's commented since we hit our 75. And anywhere else you get podcasts or listen to podcasts except for SoundCloud because they're trash. And the good folks over at 4th District, shout out to them. You can also catch all of our episodes there. And Doc's in the building.
So hot, man. So hot.
So crazy right now.
Dylan levels of heat.
It's getting hot in here.
What's going on, everybody? You can follow me at Doc_beats S9Z. It's New England in the summer, which means last week on Tuesday, it was like in the 60s. And yesterday and today, it was like in the mid-90s and it was humid. So, and then by the end of the week, it'll be back in the 70s and 60s. So,
no sense.
So the glorious noise that y'all hear in the background is my air conditioner. There have been many an episode of Clock Radio Speakers during the summertime where I basically just sit there like slowly melting into a puddle by the end of the show. I think this time I'm going to keep it on, try to keep my sanity. So the normal sound quality standards of Clock Radio Speakers might not be up to par, but
it'll be all good.
No, man, everything's good aside from that. Got some things to talk about this week. I like that.
Yeah. We're not reaching for an episode. It actually might be a little bit of an overload.
Mm. How about you, man? So you started class.
Yeah. Well, this is my third week of school.
Right. So 3 weeks in, two and a half weeks. Like, how's it going?
Not too bad. I missed homework one day. My English class dropped a midweek assignment on me that I did not know about. So that sucks. But other than that, fairly easy and fairly interesting. Taking intro to sociology. So, I'm basically talking about people watching. So that's cool. The other classes on like the family structure, that's fairly easy. I wanted to take easy classes so I could just kind of ease back in the door of, the big bad world of education. And then I'll wait to take all the classes that I hate a little later.
So when will your verses start containing little snippets from stuff you learned in class?
Shoot. Honestly, I've been wanting to like drop a freestyle, so probably whenever I write this. The album's been written for a while now, so not anything else we do from here is extra. So yeah, I'll probably be talking about endogenous relationships and
how close are you to sounding like Lupe Fiasco circa 2011? Just
here's the thing. I never want to sound like I'm the smartest person in the room, and I know I'm the smartest person in the room. I don't want to sound like I have a kimono and a sword, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to look like a real life Tekken character. I don't want to do that.
I just rewatched Kill Bill 1 and 2 over the weekend.
Never seen Kill Bill.
Killing me.
Never seen Kill Bill.
I also rewatched Speed.
I've seen like pieces of Speed.
Oh my God.
I'm not a movie person, man.
I went, iTunes had this sale where they had a bunch of like classics from like the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, like super cheap. So I loaded up. Also rewatched The Matrix last night or the night before.
Okay. Which one? Wait, all three or
no,
just
the- No. Just the first one. We don't acknowledge. No.
Okay.
It's not quite like on Godfather 3 levels where it's like, what's Godfather 3? I've never heard of it before. But
yeah.
But no, Matrix 1 actually really held up. I was like, oh yeah, this is, because that movie got like first imitated and then mocked. And then like nowadays it would have been like the source of like a million memes, right?
Oh God. I mean,
it already is, but like if it were released now, you know what I mean? But it was good to revisit it. But like Speed is ridiculous and does not hold up at all and is completely absurd.
I feel that way about isn't the first Bad Boys not that good too?
It's entertaining.
Okay.
It's entertaining.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up? So last week we did a definitive 15 on the clan of Wu-Tang clan.
Get a Wu-Tang.
Yep. And we got some pretty good feedback.
Yep.
But I don't, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't feel like we really had any choices that people were just like, I just can't.
Yeah. Nah, we didn't get any, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't. Right. There's, you know, Wu-Tang is, there's so much you can do that it's almost like, you know, if you listen to our Wu-Tang retrospective, like, we don't pull any punches. Some of that stuff is really bad. Some of it didn't age well, but the great stuff is just still undeniable. So, you know, there's a lot of greatness in that whole early Wu-Tang catalog. So, I mean, I think we did a good job.
And thank you to everybody who gave us feedback on Twitter. I definitely appreciate it.
Yep. We also got the feedback on songs that impacted them.
Because you had asked that question. Right.
Yeah. So a lot of people's, it was responses all across the board. So everything from people being inspired, people thinking about their significant others, people being sad, people being motivated. Like it was all over the place. It was really interesting that, you know, evoked any sort of emotion just went all over the place. And I think I need to check out some of those records just to kind of, you know, hear them, because I'm in my old man cave. I'm in album mode. I'll say that. So between that and the freshman list and talking to some of these teenagers and my daughter, like, I'm going to have to, you know, open the ears back up.
So you mentioned the freshman list. Your favorite time of year. Freshman time.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. One day out of the year, the XXL is relevant.
And this is the 10th anniversary?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you pointed this out to me pre-show, but there was something about this year's class that really struck you. What was that?
I actually know people on this list.
Mm.
And I actually know people that they left off. Like, I wonder why so-and-so wasn't on the list.
Hmm. So who do you think, who were you expecting on a list like this that didn't show up?
I think Casanova should have been on the list.
That would have been a pretty typical New York move.
Yeah. I mean, there's either them or Griselda should have been on the list.
Okay.
West Side Gun and Conway. Those three names.
Right. Yeah. And isn't the, because they're signed to Shady now, right?
Exactly.
And normally that Interscope XXL connection is real strong.
Yeah. But does that connection even exist in 2017?
Hmm, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Interscope is going to pump any money into print media in 2017.
Is A Boogie with the Hoodie, is that their token New York artist?
Yeah, but he's kind of like he doesn't sound like he's from New York. He's like designer. Mm. And he's really bitter. Like, I feel bad for him. he says like misogynistic, like, I got played when I was a junior in high school and I still haven't gotten over it. It's like that type of bitter. Like, come on, man. Like, it's over. She's gone, man.
Like a really bitter Drake.
Yes. She's gone, bro. It's okay. There will be more. It'll happen again.
Anybody on here that you looked at and went, meh?
I mean, the people that I see that I actually know, yeah. I'm like, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Because they're not picking what they think are like the 10 best like up-and-comers right now. It's more about who is quote-unquote hot, right?
Yeah. And okay. All of these guys, I think for me, somebody who does not listen to like this branch of hip hop, if I know who you are and I could probably either name a song or identify a song that you have, like, all right, that works. That probably means that you're popping, because I'm not paying attention to anything that these kids are doing.
Mm.
These look like the teens that I mentor in youth ministry in my church. So it's like, I just don't know who Elder Barge is in the back with the praying hands. I don't know who that is. I have no idea who that is.
Oh, man.
And the guy with his arms out, he's like, yeah. And I'm like, no. Mm-mm. I don't know who that is.
I think that's PNB Rock.
That might be. Okay. Nope. I've seen that name before, but I don't know any of his music.
Yeah, because so. It. What about
you? Is there anybody on here who stands out? Is there anybody who has any music on here that you actually like?
I really tried to give A Boogie with a Hoodie a shot. I don't really like it.
Yep.
Is it Maiden T.O.? Is that how you pronounce his name?
I think so. He's got the Big Sean record. It's called Migo or
he's got a record. He might be interesting. I've heard some stuff from PNB Rock before. PNB Rock's all right. I've heard something from Kyle before.
Yeah, his stuff is like platinum, right?
Why is he here?
No, I'm just saying, like, he's really, really successful.
Yeah, he's doing all right. Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, and it's funny, right? Because nobody really knows how to pronounce this guy's name. Is it XXX Tentation?
XXX 10 time tag team champions. I don't know. Yeah, it's people just call him X.
X? Yeah. First of all, oh man. Like, he's dressing like how every like mopey like white kid in the suburbs dressed in the late 90s.
Yes. He totally should have some airwalks on.
Where it's like, oh, I know this guy.
Yeah.
I went to school with kids like him.
Hates everybody, he draws all the time.
Also, the rest of the
he's into photography. He's essentially the creepy neighbor from American Beauty.
It looks like everybody else in the photo is trying to give him as much space as humanly possible.
Cause they don't know.
Right.
They don't know. And he's not the type of person to like hit you, like swing on you with his fist. He'll like headbutt you if you're too close. He'll do something really random.
He's going to be really quiet most of the time and not say much. And then he's going to pull out a knife. And you're going to be like, whoa.
Yep. He's got one teacher that understands him. So like he often goes into her class after school and just sits there and draws.
Definitely abuses the hall pass and ends up in art class.
Yep. Oh, this is amazing. Yeah, he's trash.
And the thing is, he's on this cover, but like aside from the controversy with Drake, like, is anybody really like into his music?
Man, the kids love him.
The kids
love this dude. Love this dude.
I mean, we like some super music too, so.
Yeah. And I was trying to explain that. So we had a team ministry this past weekend, and the kids were just sort of talking about the music that they listen to, and some of the other adults were like, you know, who do y'all listen to? So they're naming off stuff, and everybody's completely separated from this. Like, they barely know Drake and Kendrick. Like, Kendrick's like the newest rapper to them.
Mm.
So they're naming off all these people, and so one of them talks about X, and everybody immediately lights up, and they're like, yeah, yeah. And so they start naming off names like Slump God, aka Lil Baby Wipe, and all this other stuff, and Ugly God, and everybody's like, what? Like, judging them off the names. I'm like, listen, I bought a No Limit shirt like 4 months ago. Like, I feel you. It's the same type of ignorance. It's just different. Same thing.
Every time you say Team Ministry, my mind immediately starts flashing back to Teen Summit.
Of course, Teen Summit. Hey, of course, because that's exactly what I just joined like 2 months ago, and that's exactly what I'm trying to turn it into. I want to like talk about something serious, and then like at the end we have like a rap performance. That's exactly what I'm trying to turn it into.
Shoot,
have somebody come in and encourage the kids, tell them to stay in school, trust God, all that stuff. Yep, that's what I'm turning into. That's my goal. Yeah, this is the funny part is during the NBA Finals, did you notice that Playboi Carti had a song on a commercial already?
No. See,
yeah, for title.
Here's the problem with the NBA Finals.
Okay.
First of all, I'm old.
Yes.
Secondly, I wake up at like 5 a.m. now, which means so, I can watch like maybe a half, most likely a quarter before I'm like, I got to get to bed. So I missed so much of this live, and I ended up having to like rewatch it after the fact. It was killing me. So I didn't catch a lot. So long story short, I didn't really catch most of the commercials.
Okay. But did you? So you didn't see Last Night Live?
No, I know. It's job,
man. I feel it. I'm not mad at it. It's just I think overall the best way to describe it or to summarize the finals is just Kevin Durant.
Well, yeah. It's like one of the, depending on where you want to put it, definitely one of the 10 best, maybe probably one of the 5 best players in the NBA. goes to the team with the most talent. Like, shouldn't be a big surprise to anybody. It's a testament to people's belief in LeBron James that people thought, if they did think it, that people thought that this series might go further. And they had, you know, they ran out of gas in games 3 and 5, but it's not like they were blown off the court.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. I mean, the Cavs got their championship last year and they clearly built for that and they did whatever they had to do to get it and they got it. But it's not sustainable. I have no idea what they're going to do for the future right now.
I don't know what any team is going to do in the future, at least for the next two, at least for the next 2 years.
Well, Pat Riley coined, I think it was Pat Riley who coined this phrase, the disease of more, right? You see this almost every year in the NFL, like the Super Bowl champs will, like, whoever was like the breakout player in like the Super Bowl will all of a sudden like sign with a new team or want a new contract or like whenever you have success, like that meant that you worked as a team and everybody played their part and you could pull that off for one season. It's really hard to keep pulling that off because, you know, is Clay going to wake up one day and be like, you know what? I could be the man on my team.
Yeah, but I mean, and I said this when we talked about our NBA predictions. Clay's gone.
Oh, you just think he's going to get out? I mean, he's not ready for a contract just yet. So you think they trade him?
No, I think he goes in free agency. I think it's one of those things.
That's
where it's
a couple
like,
years away. Then I think.
Yeah, I think he's got another 2 years on his contract. It's one of those things where like, I got my hardware. Now it's time to get money.
I mean, part of it too is
let me see if I can do it myself.
Right. Like if he thinks he's one of the, I don't know, 20 best players in the NBA or something, like there's a lot of teams that would gladly hand him the reins.
Absolutely.
So that's always kind of problematic. I mean, maybe, you know, some places can pull it together. Like you need a really strong culture. You got to have the stars at the top have to be able to like, have to be willing to like, to share, like, you know, so that means like in future series, like they're going to need, you know, hopefully there's always like a Clay game, quote unquote. You know what I mean? Like you got to kind of be able to make that work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I know it looks dire right now, but you never know what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in 1996, you know, everybody would have said, man, Sonics pushed the Bulls to six games. You know, they're about to enter the prime. You know, Bulls are only getting older. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and like stuff happens. Yeah. You know, Steve Kerr's got health problems. Like, you know, I know that they've got incredibly talented players, but like, he's also a really good coach. So, you know, what if he can't coach full time anymore? Like that throws a wrinkle in it. You know, I don't know. I feel like something happens. And frankly, like just in terms of, you know, teams like ascending, like, I don't know, like they're not there yet, but like the Bucks might be two moves away from being really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Even just as they get older, they're already going to be interesting.
I agree.
So you never know. I think everybody's a little too quick to just chunk off the next like four championships for them.
Not four.
People, I feel like, I mean, you know, we talk about this, people react so strongly. It's like, yeah, they look untouchable right now. And for next year, they are the obvious immediate favorites. But like, let's just relax. It's really hard to put long runs together.
It is. But like, that doesn't take away from the fact that the team is stacked. I think that Cleveland had a chance to, well, they honestly, they should be down 3-2 because they should have won game three.
Yeah.
But honestly, the only person that I fault the most in that playoffs, two people on the Cleveland Cavaliers staff, record label, and crew that I don't want to punch him. I just want to talk to him.
Yeah. Who's that?
First person is Darren Williams. I just want to tell him to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Go home and be a family man. Go home to your family. it's over. Like, okay. It's over. Number two is Tyronn Lue. And I say that because you had Channing Frye and you had Derek Williams. You did not play them the entire series. And it got to the point in game five, and I'm sure this is the first time it happened, but KD is like dying for Kevin Love to switch off on him. And pretty much anybody, Steph, Clay, like whoever, like there's Cleveland's defensive switches were terrible. Mm-hmm. They were running into each other.
Yep.
They were like do-si-doing around each other. And in that moment, that's all a Golden State team member needs to get open. They get open way too many threes. I feel like putting Derek Williams and Channing Frye in the game, you know, Kyle Korver wasn't really shooting the way that you would expect him to. Channing Frye is also a three-point shooter. Derek Williams is still athletic. Put him on KD. maybe he doesn't stop KD, but he contains him a little bit. He wears him down. He beats him up because he's bigger than KD. Like, those two adjustments to me would have made enough of a difference for LeBron to not have to play 47 minutes.
Well, that, and they just, you know, early in the series, they were playing fast.
And so what was that game three where they're like, yeah, we're not going to change up our route. Like, why are you running with Golden State? That's how y'all won. That's how y'all came back and won.
Right.
You punched them in the mouth and you slowed the game down.
Right.
Golden State, sitting
out here trying to run with Golden State and play LeBron like 47 minutes. Come on.
Yeah. Nah, son. It's just not. Nah.
And yet it could be 3-2. And I mean, frankly, I mean, until they ran out of gas last night, like, it's not like they were out of that game.
Not at all. I think the thing that made them out of it was when they would get down to, I think the most they, because they were up early and the closest they got to was like within five.
Yeah.
When you get to within five, like three or four times, and then immediately Golden State turns it on and they hit like maybe three back-to-back threes or get buckets and then get you to turn the ball over, that's deflating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And it seemed like at the end, LeBron kind of like, it was like the last 60 seconds of a Super Mario level. All the music in his head just started playing really fast because he needed to, you know, cross the finish line or whatever. But for people who haven't been in that situation, LeBron being in eight finals, you could smell the sense of urgency, and he just didn't. I'm not going to say he didn't have any help, because he had help, because he kind of put that team together. Golden State was just, they just took better advantage of their opportunities. It is what it is.
Yeah, and they were a better team.
So
let me ask you, I mean, we get to touch on this real quick, and then we can finish on NBA. I mean, you know, during the finals, everybody wanted to talk about, you know, LeBron versus Jordan all time.
Yeah.
So he's not going to win as many titles as Jordan. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about Jordan's career is really interesting, right? Because there's like, you could argue there's like at least four sections, right? Mm-hmm. There's the first couple years when he came into might even be five, but there's definitely like, there's everything up until 90, which might be sort of even two different phases there. But people forget now, but like, he was sort of treated almost like how some people treat Westbrook now. All he can do is score. He's not making his team better. He's incredibly talented, but blah, 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 et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. He's not a winner, that, you know, all that stuff. And then you've got those first three titles with the Bulls, when the NBA was still pretty stacked.
Yeah.
Right. Then when, you know, he takes his break and he comes back, like, you know, NBA was weaker in 96, 97. You know, expansion diluted the league a little bit. He, you know, now he won titles, but like, you know, the last 3 years of Jordan's prime were against like teams that now there's no way they would sniff the, I can't imagine like those two Utah Jazz teams would never be in an NBA finals now. Like, the just level of talent just wasn't there. It was just a different league. It's just a different league. And it's not even styles. It's just like, that was a downtime for the league. So it's like, you know, as Jordan got older, the league got a little less good. And so we don't know, you know, as LeBron's getting older, the league is getting harder.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard. I mean, it's always hard to compare, especially because there's been such a change in styles. Right.
Exactly.
So that makes it hard. That alone makes it hard to compare. But when the level of competition, even just like, you know, if you sort of judge within its own era, like, you know, I think there's just more really good teams now. Yeah. I don't think that's even close. I think people really, really forget how, I'll be generous and say, offensively challenged some of those mid to late 90s playoff games were. They were hideous. Hideous.
Okay.
I'm just being serious.
I'm gonna go back and watch the game, because I haven't watched a whole lot of late 90s. But I can't sit here and say there are more talented teams in the NBA today than there were in the mid to late 90s.
Oh my God, it's not. I just don't even think it's close.
Yeesh, I don't know, dog.
You don't think so?
Nah, you've got, just out west, you've got Utah, you've got Seattle, you've got Phoenix, you've got Portland, you've got
not the Lakers.
With the exception of Seattle, all those teams peaked in the early 90s.
We've got Houston. Seattle did not peak in the early 90s.
I said with the exception of Seattle.
Oh, you said with the exception of Seattle. Utah didn't peak in the early 90s.
Yeah, they were better in the early 90s. The NBA got weaker. They held on. I'm really serious. All right.
I don't know, bro. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'll go back and make it a point to watch some of those earlier games before I just put on my, you know, 90s what kind of hats do we wear? Those like Bart Simpson don't have a cow hats.
And no, you got to put on your starter hat.
Starter hat. There we go. Before I put on my starter hat, I'll figure that out. What was I going to say about that? I forgot. But okay.
Anything else you want to say about the NBA? So we got the draft coming up.
Yeah, draft's coming up. I'm not as familiar. I didn't get to watch a whole lot of college this year. So, you know, of course, the only basketball that I'm familiar with is the Ball family, unfortunately. So I feel like who's the guy in the NFL who, like, they made him go backstage because he was supposed to be a lottery pick and he didn't get picked until later on in the first round?
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember.
They let him sit backstage. Carson Palmer? Was that Carson Palmer?
I don't think so. No, Carson went one.
I don't know. Whatever.
You think the Lakers are going to be like, nope? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh.
I feel like his dad is a liability.
Of course his dad is a liability.
Yeah, I feel like his dad is a liability, and I feel like teams aren't going to want to deal with that.
Right, because it's almost an unfair thing to ask of an 18 or 19-year-old kid, but like it's clear when they go on TV together that he is just like he wants no part of being there.
Yeah.
Right?
How would that make you feel?
The problem is, like, basically, a team who drafts him has to hope that he is mature enough and ready to tell his dad to shut the heck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, look at that family. Look the way that they interact. Look how that father acts around those kids. And you tell me if you think those kids are doing that. They're not. And that's a hard thing to ask an 18, 19-year-old kid to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because that's pretty much what it is. Like, if you don't think that's going to happen, then what? You really think that, you know, Skip Bayless isn't going to call up, you know, isn't going to call up LeVar the first time Lonzo goes through a slump?
Right.
Or if Lonzo is sitting on the bench and isn't getting starting time behind a player that maybe some people think he should. Like,
yep.
And if you're LA and you have any faith in D'Angelo Russell, like, you better hope they can play together.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're ruining one of the two.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you almost have to play them together. Otherwise, D'Angelo Russell, I mean, you might as well just you might as well just put money down for how long it's going to take LeVar to open his mouth about him.
Yeah.
And dude has a right to say whatever he wants. Like, I don't really care. And he clearly knows how to, like, you know, how to get attention, which is what people are trying to do in today's media environment. But
right.
You can't tell me that makes it easy for his kid.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm interested. Actually, you know what, Doug? I'm more interested about this Big Three League that's going to be going on in a couple weeks.
You would. Tell me why. What is the Big Three League? Bruh.
So it's all of our favorite semi-decent NBA players from the late 90s and early 2000s.
Right.
They're doing a 3-on-3 league in the summertime. And yeah. I'm hold on. Give me 1 second. I'm pulling up the rosters.
Some of these rosters are just
hilarious.
Terrible.
Hilarious.
What's the league called again?
The Big Three. Okay, here. You see the bunch. Shut up.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Bleacher Report and this stupid automatic. All right, so here we go. See if there's anything. So Allen Iverson's in there. He's a captain, player, coach. I mean, Ruben Patterson's on his team. Three-headed monsters I like. So the coach is Gary Payton. Rashard Lewis is the captain. You got Jason Williams as a co-captain. Kwame Brown.
Wait, which Eddie Jason Bath, Williams?
Probably White Chocolate.
Okay, just making sure.
No, I think the other one's done.
I'm just checking.
I think it's a wrap for him, unfortunately. Kwame Brown, Eddie Bastin, and my man Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. If anybody can find me the Abdul-Rauf Nuggets jersey, I need that. I need that yesterday.
Man, some of these teams look awful. Look at the Ball Hogs lineup.
Okay, Rick Barry's the coach. Brian Scalabrine's the captain, strike one. Josh Childress is the co-captain. Derek Byers, Rasul Butler, and Ivan Johnson. That's amazing. I like the Killer Threes. Charles Oakley's your captain.
He's going to fight somebody.
Charles Oakley's your coach. Chauncey Billups is your captain. Steven Jackson's your co-captain. They're definitely fighting. Reggie Evans, they're definitely fighting. Brian Cook and your man, Larry Hughes.
That team's just going to beat people.
Exactly. Literally. Speaking of Charles Oakley, did you watch that ESPN special called The Shop?
No.
It's amazing. You need to carve some time out of your day and watch it. It's really good. It's a barbershop setting. It's LeBron, Draymond.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. Steve Stout, 2 Chainz, a couple other casts. Like, it's really, really good. Really good. Yeah. They end up talking about the Patriots. So I'm curious to know your retort to that, because I know you're going to say something.
So Allen Iverson is the player, coach, and the captain?
Yep. So what channel is this going to be on? Because I need to know.
Fox Sports.
Okay. And how do you feel as Brian Cook for being the last person selected in this draft?
So I got a better thing. Oh, my goodness. Have you looked at who the broadcast team is?
No. Who's
it's
the broadcast
team? It's Gus Johnson on play-by-play.
Word.
Jim Jackson as the analyst.
Oh.
You know who's doing sideline commentary?
Who?
Michael Rappaport. He's definitely going to get a fight with somebody.
Oh, God. That's hilarious.
Playing at Barclays, huh? I'm looking at this. I'm like, Barclays. I could go to Barclays.
Listen, I don't know how long this – I really hope, you know, I hope this league works. I hope this league is successful. Any opportunity for people to make money, I'm all for it. So I hope that this is successful. If they could bring a team to Columbus – No, or somewhere not. Close where I can watch this game.
I think the closest to you would be, how far away is Lexington, Kentucky?
Kentucky's like an hour and a half away because it's right next to Cincinnati.
Oh, so
but I don't know how far Lexington is.
That's where University of Kentucky is.
Okay.
They play at the Rupp Arena right on campus.
Okay.
But because here's the thing, kids go free.
See? I listen.
The other closest one might be Chicago, but that's not close.
That's not close. That's 6 hours.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Not that. Hold on. Lexington, Kentucky. That is about 3 hours.
It's a little far.
Yeah, make a weekend out of it. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to see how much tickets are. I mean, some of these tickets are a little expensive, but...
Where are you at, dude?
I'm in Ticketmaster. But in Lexington. But you know what? You can get like, oh wait, wrong side. Oh, wait a minute. This is only half court?
Is it?
It's half court. Oh, and there are 3 circles where you can get 4-point shots. This is feeling a little rock and jockish.
Where is Oliver Miller when you need him?
But you could be like, yeah, you go in the upper row. It's not that bad.
Do I want to go to the upper row of a big 3 game? Absolutely not.
See, it's only $27 a ticket up there. Not all the way up, just, you know, top level.
He said up there.
All right, I'm sure people right now are like, get to the music.
Yeah, we always get a few people every week that are like, it took you guys 30 minutes to talk about music. Yeah. When are we getting to the fireworks factory?
Speaking of, so well, we let me ease back into it. Speaking of things that you buy at Ticketmaster, I'm gonna go see Mr. David Chappelle with Childish Gambino at Radio City Music Hall. It's a great transition.
That's your transition.
Listen.
Get it how you live, right?
Baby gangsters.
You text me that today?
Yeah.
Yesterday. Yeah, I was hating when you sent me that text.
Chappelle's doing a 10-night thing at Radio City. The first 4 nights are with the Roots, but I'm already going to be on vacation. So I was like, okay, I guess that's not happening.
Yeah.
And then the 2 options I had were either Once, so yeah, so the first four nights are with the Roots. The fifth night, which I could have tried, I could have bought tickets for, was with Chris Rock. He's got Erykah Badu is gonna be there one night. Trevor Noah is gonna be there one night. Childish Gambino, and then some special guests on some other nights. So,
I'm good. I would have loved to see the Roots.
Yeah, the Roots would be dope. Except, like I said, I'll be away, so can't make that one. But yeah, going to Chappelle and Childish Gambino. I have no idea if it's Childish Gambino doing comedy, doing music. No idea.
Now, I thought I read some article somewhere that said that he was done being Childish Gambino.
I mean, maybe not, because otherwise wouldn't this have been labeled as Dave Chappelle and Donald Glover?
Well, I'm sure he's going to go on a press run to announce what his new name is if this is true. Come on, like you have to.
What's pretty wild is, so when you get there, they're using some new technology where they give you a pouch that when you get inside, locks, and before you walk inside, you have to put your phone or any smartwatches that you, like if you're wearing like an Apple Watch or something, you have to put it in the pouch.
Wow.
And in order to unlock it, you have to get outside of the main area.
Wow.
Because they don't want people recording or taking pictures or on their phones. That's wild.
That is wild. That is wild. So,
but anyway,
what are you going to do? How are you going to get that out?
What do you mean? How am I going to get it out?
How are you going to record that bit?
I'm not going to record it.
Come on, man. It's me, baby.
If anyone caught with a cell phone in the venue that is not secured in a pouch will be immediately ejected.
Yeah, it's a cell phone. You've got other ways to record, don't you? You're an audiophile.
Listen, I may or may not be bringing something like that to Eau Claire's later this week. So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Just tape it in your wrist.
Tape it in your wrist. Just stuff it at the bottom. Like, have Marissa bring in, like, the world's largest purse. It's just, like, in a hidden pocket at the bottom or something.
Yeah. It's easy.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.